Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
You know, we know that there's lots of turmoil out there in the world right now. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's everything that Jesus said would happen in Matthew 24. We're actually seeing and we're in the midst of it right now. But we can never forget that God is mighty in the midst of whatever we are facing. He is mighty. And for the last couple of weeks, I've been meditating on Zephaniah 3:17. And it says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Everyone say, he's mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. And so there can be circumstances in your life. Maybe, maybe you've lost work and you wonder, how are you going to make it? Maybe you've got unpaid bills and you wonder how that's going to work out. Maybe you've got tensions in relationships. Maybe you are fighting sickness or disease within your body and you think, I'm just, faced with these horrific situations right now, and they seem so big, but God wants you to remember that he is in the midst of you, and he is mighty. And when we keep our eyes on him, there is nothing that can hold you back from fulfilling your destiny. And we're just going to trust him all the way through whatever we see happening in these coming days. We oftentimes will cry out to God in prayer, asking him to remove a situation. Have you done that? I mean, a hard situation comes. I'll give you an example. When COVID came, we were all praying, take it away, There's even people decreeing this is going to be gone in 2 weeks, Everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be a problem. But it didn't get taken away. COVID remained, but that didn't change the fact that God was mighty in the midst of it. He was mighty in the midst of it. And I remember when it first broke out and there was so much fear, and things were getting shut down. Church gatherings were being shut down and everything. And there was so much fear, so much anxiety, so much focus on it. People were even afraid that they wouldn't be able to get their toilet paper. And so, there was toilet paper shortages. I mean, it was just ridiculous what we were all uptight about, But God was mighty in the midst of it. No matter what happened, he was mighty in the midst of it. And we just turned to God at that time. We said, we will not fear. We will believe you. We don't understand all that's going on right now, but we know that you're good. There might be a pandemic happening all around us. In fact, all the nations were plagued with it. It was a global pandemic. There might be things that are uncomfortable to us right now in the natural, but you are mighty in the midst of it. And we know that everyone who looked to him in the midst of it and stood with him in the midst of all that was going on received of his goodness. And there are times when bad things will happen to good people, but when you keep your eyes on the Lord, even the bad things that come your way, he can work together for good and turn it to good. There are many of you, even in this room, that I know personally who have gone through crisis where you prayed for things that didn't turn out the way that you'd hope. The problem didn't go away. It actually continued to intensify and come at you. And yet God kept you in the midst of it. And he was mighty in the midst of it. And nothing can keep you from fulfilling your destiny. Nothing can keep you from what God has for you if you keep your eyes on him, if you keep your focus on him. And no matter what happens, we will move forward in praise of him, expecting his goodness. We often want to flee from hardship, but sometimes God says, I'm just going to show you how mighty I am in the midst of it. I'm going to show you how great I am in the midst of it. Will you look for me in the midst of it? Not just looking for a release from it, but look for me and my greatness in the midst of what you are facing. I've been meditating a lot on different people in the Bible over this last 2 weeks, and I'm impressed. I'm impressed with my God and what he's done, about his might, about his glory, about sometimes the way he works that is different from the way that we think he should work. And I've been thinking a lot about Joseph. And Joseph, he had this destiny dream from God. It was truly a dream from God that proclaimed his destiny. It showed him things about his life that were absolutely glorious. You know, it's wonderful getting a prophetic word or a prophetic dream about something great God is going to do in your life. It's so awesome, you know. And so he went and told his family about it. I don't know if that was a wise thing to do or not. But anyways, as a result, his brothers threw him into a pit. Now, I'm sure that wasn't what he was expecting. He was believing, wow, we got this great prophetic word. I got this great prophetic dream. Great things are going to happen. My family's going to be bowing down to me. God's going to use me in a powerful way to get things done. And, you know, that's where his mind was. I mean, it was in a positive place, but then negative happened in the midst of him being positive. He gets thrown into a pit. Not only did he get thrown into a pit, to actually be left for dead, I think that was the original plan probably, but then they thought they could line their pockets with a bit of money, so they sold him into slavery in Egypt. So now it gets even worse. Where is God in the midst of this? Where is God when you're thrown into the pit? Where is God when you're sold into slavery? And not only that, he gets to Egypt and, you know, he just flourishes because I don't believe he took his eyes off of God for a moment. He flourishes in Potiphar's house. Potiphar made him, you know, a steward over all of his belongings. And so he was being blessed even in the midst of slavery. No matter what the enemy tries to do, God is in the midst of you to fulfill his plan and purpose for you. And the same favor that he had seen in the dream was activated in his life in Potiphar's house. That favor didn't go away. It was just manifesting in a different place than what he had thought. So there he was being favored. And then once again, he gets a bad deal. Bad things happen to good people. So Potiphar's wife lied about him, saying that he tried to attack her. And so he gets charged, you know, and God didn't keep him out of the prison. You think, oh, he's going to go to court and win the court case. You know, God's going to be with him. God will make sure that they know the truth about him. But that didn't happen. God didn't keep him out of prison. He got put in prison. But in prison, God was mighty. God was mighty in Joseph's life, even when he was in prison. And God used him there. In fact, he kind of ran the prison. You know, the chief jailer gave him access to everything and kind of made him the leader in the prison. So he looked after the prisoners. The same favor that he had in that original prophetic dream was still activated just in a different way than what he had thought. God didn't keep him out of the prison, but God kept him in the prison. He preserved him in the prison. He preserved his destiny. In fact, he was groomed to fulfill his destiny while he was in the prison. His character was tested in Potiphar's house so that he could come into the fullness of his destiny. Bad things happen to good people, but in the midst of bad, God is great. In the midst of bad, God is good. And so God was working in Joseph's life to bring him into his destiny purpose. He even got forgotten. He became not only a dreamer that he started out with, but now he becomes a dream interpreter in prison. He expanded his gift while he was in a challenging place. You will expand your gift in the hard places if you keep your eyes on the Lord. There is no evidence in Scripture whatsoever that indicates that Joseph lost his focus on the Lord. He only continued to serve the Lord. He didn't blame God. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. He just continued to keep God in the midst of his focus while he was in a challenging place. And so, in the pit, in the midst of being a slave in Potiphar's house, in the midst of being a prisoner, he just knew who he was. He knew who his God was. And he lived well. He lived well, actually, even in being in prison. He lived well in Potiphar's house. Nothing could take him down. And nothing can take you down either if you keep your focus on God. If you keep your focus on God, no matter what situation you're in, God will bring you out. No matter what the devil tries to do to you, he can throw anything at you, but God is going to keep you in the midst of whatever you're facing because he is mighty in your midst. In fact, when you're in the darkest hour, that's where a miracle can break forth, but we must keep our eyes on God. We know that Joseph, at the end of his journey, he ends up being a deliverer for his own people and for the nation of Egypt. God used him in both and established the goodness of God, not only for his own life, but for his people. And his people flourished in Egypt from that time on. They flourished. They flourished so much so that they were being blessed by God. They were multiplying in Egypt, that there came a time when the new Pharaoh looked at them and said, "Whoa, I'm intimidated by how blessed these people are." But that blessing that God's people were living in was because one man believed God was mighty in the midst of him. In the midst of the dark places, he just kept his eyes on God. And because he did, not only was he blessed at the end of the day and exalted and lifted up and promoted, but he made a way for generations to come for his people to live in multiplied blessing. And you, in the midst of your fire right now, in the midst of your trial right now, in the midst of your circumstances right now, you are preparing a way for coming generations to know the goodness of God and the blessing of God. And even after you finish your course in this earth, the word of God and the goodness of God and the blessing of God is going to expand to coming generations and believers because of you, because you care to look at the might of God in the midst of your circumstance. We love the story of Joseph. He had to go through a few things to produce that story. You might be going through a few things to produce your story right now, but believe me, your story is going to be magnificent. Your story is going to be awesome. Esther, your story is going to be awesome. Amen? Amber, your story is going to be awesome. And it's not because the circumstances were great. It's because God was great in the midst of you and in the midst of whatever you are facing. Amen. I'm not minimizing tragedies that we as individuals go through from time to time. I'm not minimizing the pain in that warfare. I'm not minimizing it, but I'm telling you the truth, that the way to stand is not to be absorbed in the past pain of it, but to look to God, to his might and what he can do for your future, what he can do for your tomorrow. And sometimes we just have to throw off the cloak of the old so that we can walk in the new. We have to look to God and move forward. Otherwise, we will be trapped inside the pit that we never got out of. We'll be trapped inside of Potiphar's house that we never get out of. We'll be trapped inside of the prison that we never get out of. We have to look to God and look forward. It is not healthy to dwell in and to live inside the pain of the past or the things that we don't understand. There are things that many of us, I've experienced things myself, that what I was believing for didn't come to pass in the way that I thought it was going to come to pass. And I questioned saying, why God? Why this? And there's some things that we just don't have the answer for while we're in this life. But one thing we know for sure, God is mighty in the midst of us. He is mighty in the midst of you. And he will save us. He will deliver us. I've also been meditating on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh my goodness. You know, a whole nation was put into captivity to Babylon because they had disobeyed God. They had rebelled against God. And over time, it created a critical mass that put them into judgment. So the whole nation was in captivity to a very cruel taskmaster. And, you know, when we're talking about nations, this might be just a good time for us to repent, right? Maybe it's a good time for the nations to repent before God, because we don't want to be put into captivity into any cruel dictator or anything like that. We want to be free to serve the Lord and to honor him in our nations. And so we do that as individuals and come to the Lord as an individual and say, God, I'm going to serve you with all my heart. I'm not going to allow the world to have its influence on me. I'm not going to allow my heart to live in two realms, your realm and the world realm, your realm and the flesh realm. No, I'm just going 100% for you. But God's people didn't walk in that way. They rebelled against God and they turned against him and started worshiping false idols and that. And the time came where their enemy overtook them and they were in captivity in Babylon. But not everyone in Babylon suffered. Not everyone in Babylon had a hard life, because there were those that were so committed to God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Daniel. And they actually got promoted and blessed in Babylon. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're serving the Lord, and they're enjoying, you know, they're enjoying the Lord. They're enjoying their life with him while they're in the midst of this oppressed nation. So the day comes when they are challenged, saying, you know, you can't worship your God. You've got to lay all that down, and, you know, you've got to, you know, worship other than the true and the living God. And they said, no way. We're just not going there. That's where we draw the line. You know, we happily serve our God. We happily worship our God. And nothing's going to change that for us, because we've made up our mind. We are not going to worship any other God. We are not going to repent from worshiping the true and the living God. And they said, well, if you don't, you're going to get thrown into a fire. And they said, well, you know, we've already made up our mind. You can't convince us to change our mind. And so they finally come to the place where they are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They said, not only this, we're going to give you your last chance to change, but if you don't, we're going to turn up the flames and the fire. It'll be hotter than ever, trying to intimidate them, trying to bully them. But they refused to be bullied. They refused to be intimidated. And they said, you know, if we get thrown in the fire, our God will do deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not changing our mind. They understood that God was mighty, and he was either going to meet them in that fire and do a miracle or take them onto glory or something. But they just believed that in the midst of this situation that they were in, God would show his might. So they did get thrown into the fire. God did not take away the problem. He did not cause, and I'm sure there were people praying at that time saying, oh God, just cause the government to relax the pressure on them. And, you know, just give them grace and let the government change their mind about this. I'm sure that there were those prayers, but the government did not change their mind. They got thrown into the fire. God did not keep the fire from being there that they got thrown into. He didn't do anything about that. But what he did do was even greater. He met them inside the fire. So they get thrown inside the fire. And in the midst of the fire, God shows up. The fourth man showed up in the fire. And when they came out, there was not even the smell of smoke on them. They were not burned. They were not destroyed. They were not harmed. They were not wrecked. No, they were blessed in God. They didn't even have the smell of smoke, because God in the midst of them was mighty. And the testimony that was produced out of that was greater than it would have been if they had never got thrown into the fire. Every Sunday school child today, every unsaved person, I'm sure, in the world knows the story about the three young guys that got thrown into the fire. Everyone knows that story. There is so much testimony, so much mileage that came out of being thrown into the fire. And whatever you're facing right now, there's mileage that's going to come out of it. I always say, when the devil attacks me, I say, devil, you're going to be sorry you ever tried. Because I'm going to turn this into a testimony, because God in the midst of me is mighty. He is mighty to save me. He is mighty to deliver me. He's singing over me. He has established his love over me. And it's going to work out good. And even if this situation doesn't go away, my God is going to be great in the midst of the situation. Amen. And then we go on to Daniel, right? Daniel, oh my goodness, what a man. He was living in Babylon also. He was living in an oppressed government situation. Circumstances were hard on the people, but he wasn't touched by it. He just stayed close to his God. He worshiped God Almighty. He didn't let his mind go off to, oh no, what about this and what about that? I'm just going to be happy in my God. I'm going to worship my God. And then they said, sorry, you can't do that anymore. We passed a law. You can't do that. And if you don't stop worshiping the true and the living God, we are going to throw you into the lion's den. Now, God didn't change their mind about that. God didn't keep him from being thrown into the lion's den. I'm sure that there was people praying about that. Oh, Lord, please, you know, make them change their mind. You know, just change the policies. Protect Daniel. Close the pit so that they can't even throw him in. But that didn't happen. Those prayers weren't answered. But one prayer was answered. God showed himself mighty in the midst of the lion's den. And he made those lions like pussycats. And Daniel never got touched. And in the morning when they checked out on him, he was fine. He was friends with the lions. They were probably licking him. And again, everyone knows that story. Daniel in the lion's den? Come on. What about David and Goliath? There's the nation of Israel. They're taunted by this Philistine army and this bully out there, this huge giant man who's mean and cruel and threatening. And all the army was scared. They forgot that God in the midst of them was mighty. But there was a little shepherd boy that never forgot the greatness of God. He'd been out on the fields with God. He'd been out tending the sheep, and lions and bears would come into his midst. And he came to know that God in the midst of him was mighty. He came to know that God plus nothing was everything that he needed. And if God could take down a lion and a bear with him, then he and God could take down this giant with no problem at all. And so he went right into the midst of the battle. All the nation watching, the rest of the army was terrified. But David just goes in there and takes out his little slingshot and throws the rock at him, and down that big bully went, never to rise again. Cuts his head off, uses it as a trophy, and he got great reward from that. And actually, the story made him famous in that day. And to this day, everyone knows the story. Some of you are building a story right now. Some of you are going to have the most amazing story. You think, I don't know how this bad situation can turn into good. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'll tell you, if you just trust God, it will. No matter what happens in the meantime, no matter what happens in the mishap of the circumstances, God is mighty in the midst of you. You know, Joseph had one thing after another after another. It didn't end just with one. It kept going, but he remained the same. He remained focused on a God who is mighty in the midst of him. And every trial he went through, God met him in that place. And so he did with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, with Daniel. What about Moses? Moses, another man who knew God in the midst of trouble. And, you know, he had all the dealings with Pharaoh and everything, and, you know, the people of God who came against him because they were in fear. But finally, he gets to lead God's people out into towards the promised land. And so they're leaving Egypt. And even though they had lived in oppression, God heard their cry. And he was in the midst of them. And when they left, they plundered the Egyptians. They just went and told the Egyptians to give all the gold, silver, jewelry, and all that. And the Egyptians did. They just, God made it so that they just did. So now they're going out, running away. Running as God told them to go out now into the promised land. So away they go. They pack up everything and away they go. And they are headed towards their promised land. When all of a sudden, some issues came up that looked impossible. Circumstances that looked impossible. They'd been through so much already. And God would do one thing after another in the midst of them to prove his might, but they were still fearful. So they get to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden they realize, how are we going to get across here? We're looking at this sea that looks impossible for us to go across. There's no way that we can do it. But not only that, behind them, the Egyptians finally woke up and realized what they'd done. And they were chasing after them, the whole army of them, the whole army of Egyptians, a whole Egyptian army was chasing after them to annihilate them and get back their gold and silver and everything else. And they're saying, oh God, what are we going to do? They forgot that he was mighty in the midst of them. They were looking at their problem. They were looking at the worst case scenario of what was going to happen ahead of them. And then they looked behind them and saw even worse. That's between a rock and a hard place, right? And they were filled with negativity and filled with complaining because they couldn't see God in their future. And they, at that moment, didn't even see God in their past. All they saw was trouble. They saw no deliverance. But God is mighty in the midst of us to save us, to deliver us. And God spoke to Moses and he said, all you have to do right now is just stretch out your rod. Watch what I will do. Watch what I will do. I will do what no man can do in the midst of this hard place because I gave you a promise. And there's nothing that can stop you except yourself from getting your destiny fulfilled. And so he said, stretch out. And he stretched out the rod and all of a sudden, there was the sea, just rolled back, and it was dry land. What a miracle. It wasn't even 5 feet of soggy, wet sand under there. It was dry ground, the Bible says. Dry ground. That's what our God can do. Whatever it takes, that's what he'll do. And away they went, and they crossed the Red Sea to the other side. But not only that, when the Egyptians came, all of a sudden the ground got soggy again, and the water came back, and they all drowned. All their enemies were gone. And they looked forward and there was a whole future ahead of them. God had delivered them out of Egypt and now he was going to take them into the promised land. But what happened? They failed to see the might of God in the midst of them. They complained. It was supposed to be a 40-day journey. It ended up being 40 years and the initial generation that started out didn't make it in. Because of what? Because of their unbelief, because they were murmuring and complaining. They didn't trust God. They did not acknowledge the might of God in the midst of them, even though God fed them every day by opening up heaven and pouring out supernatural food upon them. How many of us would love to wake up one morning and see the heaven open over our kitchen and supernatural food sent down? Yeah, we're all happy, but for some reason they weren't. They did not acknowledge the might of God. They were thirsty and he gave them water. It just all of a sudden a rock started pouring out water, enough for a whole nation to drink of it. I mean, we would be amazed at that. Probably, oh God, this is such a great story. But they never saw it because they couldn't see God in the midst of them. He was a cloud by day. He was a fire by night. He was a mighty God leading them with everything that they needed. Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. They had clothes, fresh clothes, all the way through 40 years, and yet they failed to acknowledge God in the midst of them. He was in the midst of them. But they were so focused on what they didn't have, they couldn't see the might of God and what he was giving to them in that place. And they became murmurers and complainers with a face toward against God instead of looking to the might of God in their midst. And sometimes we can do that when we're in a hard place. We just start complaining and God is mean and he didn't answer my prayer and he didn't do this and he didn't do that. And I'm missing the leeks and the garlic back in Egypt. I wish I was back there. Things were better before. My God's not being faithful. And you start behaving like that, and you're going to find yourself in a really challenging place. And they never got out of it. That initial generation never got out of the wilderness, never did, because they failed to acknowledge the might of God. They failed to acknowledge the goodness of God in the midst of all that they were going through. And then let's just take a look at Jesus. So Jesus comes to earth. He doesn't have it easy. He's God. You know, he left his privileges of God to the side because he came actually into the earth as a man, as a perfect man, so that he could fulfill the terms of covenant as a man on our behalf for you and I. So he left all the God part of him kind of on the shelf for the season he was with us, because everything he did, he had to do as you and I. That's why he had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's why he was baptized in water for the remission of sins, for the cleansing from sin. He didn't have any sin, but he did it for you and I. Amen? So here's this perfect, perfect man, and he had it hard. He was living in a hard day. Politically, oh my goodness, the political landscape of that day was hard. But he didn't complain against the politicians or anything. He just exalted his God. He exalted the kingdom of God. He looked to God who was in the midst. He was slandered. He was ridiculed. The religious leaders of the day tried to trip him up. All those things he faced. And then he ended up, you know, having to go into an intercession where he would fight back the powers that were after you and I, and he would be facing all those powers in prayer when he was in Gethsemane, and he was sweating drops of blood for you and I. And at that point, he said, Father, like, if there's another way, you know, I'm open. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done in the midst of it. Because he knew that the Father's plan was complete. He knew that if he would say yes, the destiny call of Jesus Christ coming into the world to save mankind would be complete. But if he shifted his focus, if he just went into wanting to get away, you know, all the trouble, the pain and everything he was experiencing, all the pressure in the spirit, oh, take it away, you know, if he had gone there, then he wouldn't have been able to fulfill the mandate. But he went through it all. He went to the cross. He went to the cross and the agony of the cross, not only the way he died, it was a painful death, but not only that, seeing everyone that he had came to love and to bless were all standing against him. The Father never took that away. He stood in the midst of it and knew the might of his God in the midst of it. When he died on the cross, he died in love, perfect love. He did it in perfect love. His love was flawless, and he died with a perfect, flawless heart of love for you and I. Perfect. But he also died in faith. He had no power to raise himself from the dead, but he knew that he was called the resurrection and the life. And he knew that when he became sin, he wouldn't have any power to help himself, but he knew that his God was mighty in the midst of him. And in the midst of paying the penalty for your and my sin in hell, he knew that God would be in the midst of him and raise him up on the third day, and that he would manifest the resurrection power of the Father and be the first one to be raised into that new life. Hallelujah. The pain didn't go away, but his God was mighty in the midst of him. So I just want to give you just a few things that'll help you get positioned to remember God as mighty. Zephaniah 3:17, let's look at it again. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. He's in the midst of you right now, and he is mighty. He is mighty in your situation. He's going to work everything together for good for you. He will save. He's going to deliver you. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He's established that love and nothing's going to shake it. And he will joy over you with singing. He's singing over us right now. Okay, number one, remember that God is in your midst. When you're looking at adverse circumstances, when you're looking at problems, when we're looking at war, and people are afraid that there might be a third world war breakout. That might happen. It could be. We're going to pray that it doesn't. We're going to pray that there'll be peace in men's hearts, and that the conflicts that are causing these tensions are going to be diminished by the power of God, that there'll be a great revival and harvest that will change the hearts of men and turn them back to God. That's what we're going to believe. But even if that doesn't happen and a third world war breaks out, we can have full confidence that God's going to be mighty in the midst of us. Yeah. We're thinking, well, what will we do if that breaks out? Will we lose this? Will we lose that? Will we be in pain? You know, you don't have to think about those things. Just look at God. Set your mind on the things above where Christ is seated. Think on those things that are good and pure and lovely and of good report. Because in the midst of a hard time right now, do you know that there's great harvest in the Ukraine? Do you know that there's great harvest right now in Russia? Do you know that there's supernatural outbreaks of God's power in the midst of the Ukraine and Russia? This is happening right now. Even though there's war there, there's also another realm taking place, and that is the realm of the kingdom of God, and great miracles are happening right now. And if anything were to come to us, we know that God would be mighty in the midst of us, and as we keep our mind on Him, we'll just build our life on testimony. Are there casualties of war? Yeah, people die in war, but you know, death, honestly, We overrate death. Death is actually part of living. We all die. All of you in this room, I hate to tell you this, but you're all going to pass over one day. Now, that should be good news to you, right? That should be good news to you, right? Jesus said, if you're a believer in Him, He said, he who believes in me will never die. Why did he say that? Is it because we're not going to leave this physical earth and body? No, it's because our life has nothing to do with this temporal container. Our life is eternal life. When we take our last breath here, the next one's in glory. That's simple. And we get so uptight about, oh no, you know, we might die. Well, yeah, you know. We might, as far as the earthly realm goes, but we pass over. We pass over into greater glory. We pass over into what we were created for from the beginning of time. And so we need to keep our mind on the Lord. And I'm not minimizing the pain of loss. I know that it hurts when you lose a loved one. It does. And it takes a while for our soul to just get connected with God again sometimes and to receive His comfort, to receive His encouragement, because He's got good things ahead. He always have good things, no matter what happens to you. You know, maybe, you know, you lost your spouse. Maybe your spouse left you. Worse than that, maybe he left you for another woman, or she left you for another man. You know, that's hard. Joan Hunter had her husband leave her for another man. That's hard. But, you know, look at her now. It didn't hold her back. It didn't hold her back because she remembered God was in her midst, and that God had a future and a hope for her, and that she had a choice to either wallow in the pain of her loss or to move forward and build a testimony in this situation, which would prove the greatness of God in the midst of her. When you're in a hard place, remember that God is with you. He's in your midst. The problem might go away, but He won't. Secondly, remember you are loved. Remember that He loves you. He loves you. And He's going to work out the situation for you because He loves you. He's going to visit you with His love. And you think, yeah, but I didn't make all the right choices and I did this and that and maybe I deserve it. No, He doesn't even think that way. He sees you through the finished work of the cross. He sees you through all the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's there to help you. He's there to support you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to lead you in a better way. Thirdly, avoid negative thoughts and self-pity. Avoid negative thoughts. Whatever you think, you attract. God's law of attraction. I've got a whole book on it. I don't have time to unpack all the scriptures for it, but I can guarantee you the Bible teaches you that according to what you think, you will attract what you think. So if you're full of negativity, you're going to attract negativity, and then you'll get more negative because you'll be saying, see, it always happens to me. This is so hard. Oh, there's another hard thing. And it'll just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And so remain positive. Remain positive in your thinking during trials and keep your eyes on God, saying, I don't know how you're going to work this, but you're going to work it together for my good. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to keep my mind on your goodness and what you can do in this situation. I'm not going to let my mind go into a sewer. I'm going to keep strong in you. Number four, believe God's promises and his power. Believe God's promises and his power. He is powerful in the midst of you. He is mighty in the midst of you. There is nothing he can't do. Keep your mind on him and his promises. Absorb the promises of God. If Israel had a look to the promise that God had given them, they wouldn't have been stuck in the wilderness. They would have said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to bring us into the promised land because you promised it to us. And we're just going to stand on that. We don't understand what's going on right now, but we know you will keep your word. And so keep close to his promises. And then lastly, live happy. Live happy. You know, the devil or circumstances or cruel people in your life, they can't keep God from being mighty in the midst of you. They can't. Nothing can keep God from being mighty in the midst of you. Who is the devil, right? He is defeated 2,000 years ago. What is an adverse circumstance? It's just something that God can prove himself faithful in. What about those cruel people that come against you and do cruel things against you? Are you willing to forgive them? Are you willing to be unoffendable? What can they do to you? God's got a greater plan. We've all had people be cruel to us. I've had lots of people be cruel to me, and I just bless them. It didn't hurt me. Look where I'm standing. None of it ever hurt me. I just forgive them and go on. Okay, bless them. Sometimes I help them, you know, even get what they want. I said, don't bother taking it from me. I'll give it to you.
That's good.
You know? But live happy. Don't let the devil take away your joy. You know, if we ended up in a third world war, we could choose to be happy in the midst of it. During COVID, COVID was breaking out all over the place. You know, many of us have been afflicted with COVID, you know, but God was mighty in the midst of us. You know, you can choose to be happy. You can swallow your cough syrup with a smile, right? We just chose to be happy in the midst of it, saying, wow, this is an opportunity. We aren't able to meet for the next month or so, so let's renovate the building. So we got in here and we prayed through the building and we renovated it and made it new. We just have one room left to do. We did all that during COVID. You know, we were able to reach, we preached to more people during COVID. We were all, everyone was so worried saying, oh no, the church has been shut down. We can't meet. You know, the devil's shutting us down. No, he didn't. He just opened up another door for us. We went out on media and we reached more people than we ever had reached before because everyone was looking to where they could find the word. They had ordinarily been going to church once a week. Now they were on media every day. Following by the hour. Many of them couldn't work, so they were seeking God. Families were at home. You know, a lot of the reports say, yeah, there was, you know, divorces and abuse. But let me tell you, there was a lot of good stuff going on when God was being honored in homes. And families had time together. They got secured together. Relationships got built. It was amazing because God was in our midst. Be happy. You know, you could live your life miserable or happy, but when you know God is in the midst of you and he's mighty, you'll be happy. Yeah, I don't know how God's going to work out this problem, but I know he is. It's not worth worrying about today. Don't worry, be happy. Let me close with one scripture. Psalm 144:5. This is out of the Amplified. Happy. Everyone say happy.
Happy.
Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, to be envied are the people whose God is the Lord. Is God your Lord?
Yes.
Then be happy. Get excited about what God can do. Stir your faith. Believe him for great things. This is a season for the miraculous. This is a season for God to show himself powerful. He might not take the circumstance away from you, but he'll show his might in the midst of it. And for others of you, he will take away the circumstance. Either way, God is mighty. God is good. Whatever way you want to look at it, we can't fail. We can't fail because we serve a God who is great. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Father, we just thank you so much for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that this word does not return void. It accomplishes everything that it's sent to do. We thank you, Lord, that you are infusing us with happy. You are infusing us with faith. You are infusing us with love so that we will know that you are mighty in the midst of us. Lord, we know that whatever circumstance that we are in right now, that you are more powerful than the circumstance. You're going to take care of it. We might not know how, but we just know you will, and that you'll bring us into our destiny. You'll bring us into the fulfillment of what is good and righteous and honorable in Jesus' name. If we could all bow our heads in prayer right now, I'd like to just see if there's anyone in this room today that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know him as your Savior, but you want to know him. I tell you, there's nothing like receiving Jesus into your heart and having him change your life. And so I just want to invite you and those of you online that are watching, if there is anyone that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're in the room right now, if you could just raise your hand so I can see your hand. And if you're online, if you could just write in the comments section, I need Jesus. Just write in the comments section, I need Jesus. If there's anyone here, you know, there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved, only through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can reconcile you to the Father, to your Creator. There is no other name under heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And he is a good God, and he'll turn your life around. You can have a brand new beginning today. You can have a brand new start today. If there's anyone in this room you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and have a brand new life in him today, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. And those of you online, I want to pray for you. So let's pray right now. Just pray after me. Father, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I thank you for what he did on the cross to make me your child. I thank you that I now have new life, that Christ lives inside of me, and that I will now live for him and for his glory. Thank you for writing my name in your book of life, sealed in you. Amen.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.